episode 22.
It's time to breathe new life into the social entrepreneur by empowering you to make a living through fulfilling work that will impact lives. You'll make money, but more importantly, you'll make a difference. Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast. It's time to build a business with purpose. Now here's your host, Adam Force.
Hey everybody, this is your host, Adam Force. I hope that you're ready for some marketing expertise today. That's exactly what you're going to get as we talk to Leonard Kim, who was recognized by Inc. Magazine as a top digital marketer and by Red Letter Resumes as a top personal branding expert. Leonard was almost homeless at some point and, you know, worked really hard, went through hell and back, and became a personal branding expert whose content has now been read over 10 million times, and he has over a quarter million followers in social media. So there's a lot to learn here from Leonard. He's all over the internet. You can check him out. So we're going to dive into that conversation in just a minute. Don't forget to stop by iTunes, leave us a review and a rating. We really appreciate your support. It goes a long way. And visit us at changecreatormag.com. Without further ado, let's start talking to Leonard and see what he has to say. Hey, Leonard, what's up, man? Welcome to the Change Creator Podcast Show. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you, Adam? And thank you so much for having me on.
No, you're welcome. You're welcome. I'm excited to talk to you, and I'm doing well here in sunny Florida, so I can't complain. Where are you at now?
I'm over in Los Angeles. It's just as sunny over here, just a little bit less humidity, though.
Yeah, exactly. That humidity can get you for sure. But yeah, LA, nice. How long have you been out there?
Basically my whole life. I mean, I lived in Orange County a little bit before, but if you're from Florida, Orange County and LA is basically the same thing.
Okay, cool. So I read a little bit about your background, of course, and it looks like you have your fair share of learnings, we'll call it, ideas that maybe didn't pan out, which kind of led you to where you are today, right? So, you know, at some point you started this mission of, you know, taking things into your own hands, and you started doing writing. And I guess that, now tell me if there's anything different, but that's really the start of how you kind of started this personal branding mission, right?
Basically, in the last few weeks, I've been looking over a lot of my old content and just examining where it was before and where I am today. So it's made it a little bit easier to answer a question like this.
Yeah.
Throughout my life, all I did was just fail over and over and over again. And when I first started writing, that was back in 2012. I didn't do it to a big audience, but I did it on Facebook to like 1,000 people, which could be a big audience to in comparison to the type of views I get now or to a regular person. But back then when I was writing, like I saw, I was like pretty hung up on living in the past, like living in a dream world, not accepting reality for what it really was.
Yeah.
But back in 2013, when I started writing to the public and I read the content there, it's like I finally accepted my situation. I'm like, oh yeah, I was a loser. Things happened. I failed. Over and over and over again, almost went homeless. It happened, but I'm over it. And then I saw that transition from the content before to the content after, and I'm like, wow, that's a huge difference.
Yeah.
And I mean, what I did was when I started branding myself, I wanted to really get the stories out there because I needed the self-therapy of just letting it all go. That was the reason I started writing. I needed to let everything off my chest, finally come clean and be like, you know what? These things happened in my life. I was that type of person who would be like, oh, my life's perfect. Everything's going right. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you encounter those types of people every single day because that's just the typical narrative that we're all trained to put on. Like if you look at social media, it's a complete highlight reel of everyone's life. Oh, you're on vacation. You're eating this great food.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I need to catch up and do the same thing, but it just ate away at me. And I'm like, I can't keep doing this. If I do, then I'm just lying to the whole world. And most importantly, myself, because I'm making like next to no money. I think back in 2012, my tax return was like 13 grand or something ridiculous. Nice. For the entire year. Yep, top baller there. And like, I was just doing all these things that wasn't really relating and reflecting to who I really was because of all the experiences and the failures I went through. Back in 2010, I almost went homeless, and I called my mom. She told me to call my grandma. My grandma let me live with her for a few months when I was getting evicted. So things just went wrong, and I was like, I didn't tell anyone. I was like keeping it all to myself because I was so embarrassed of it all.
Yeah.
And then, like when I first started writing about it, it was just painful just getting all that across. And I was still living in the past back when I used to make six figures, which was a really long time ago. Mm-hmm. And I guess something clicked when I started reading other people's content that I needed to just accept the situation for what it was. And when I started writing publicly, that's when I did. And I didn't really have an intent to go out there and build my own personal brand.
Yeah, that's but a question since I had. Yeah.
Since I had that business background where I worked at this startup and that startup and this other startup, and I knew just how important branding is, I realized when everything started taking off, I need to build my personal brand.
Okay. Well, let me just jump in there real quick. So that leads me to just, I want to know what your opinion is about, you know, is there a difference in your mind between branding and personal branding?
No.
No, same thing. Okay. And then would you look at, then I guess I want to understand your thoughts on just how do you define personal branding? Because I'm thinking about branding in a certain way that includes like the strategic side as well. So I just want to get your definition of personal branding.
The only difference I see between personal branding and branding is like a company like Coca-Cola, you see them as refreshing, cool, or maybe bad for you. Like these are different brand perceptions that people have of Coca-Cola. I see cool and refreshing because I love Coca-Cola. But on the other hand, other people are like, oh no, that's the diabetes machine. Yeah. So these are the different brands that are portrayed with Coca-Cola. Now you get those same feelings and those same emotions and you attach it behind a person as opposed to a company. That's more personal branding.
I see.
So there's really no difference. It's like, oh, John's a great employee or John's a horrible employee. I saw him smoking in the back the other day. Those are different brands. Like, it's really how you're perceived.
Right. So it's a matter of just how you develop your perception to the public.
Correct.
And I guess, you know, so that perception, though, involves, I guess, verbal and visual identity, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so, you know, a lot of people think about branding and they think, well, that's my colors, my logo, but there's also the narrative, right? That strategic verbal identity that I feel like a lot of people leave out. So I always try to just, like, get people's sense of how they're defining branding and if they agree that those things are all part of that process.
Yes. Like, I could give you an example. I do social media for a lot of companies and a lot of people, and I help them build out their brands and whatnot. Mm-hmm. You've heard of UCLA, right?
Yes.
UCLA Health on, this is August?
Yeah.
On August 1st, they released a post. U.S. News ranked them number one in California. One of the top 20 best hospitals in the whole entire United States. And they had all this prestige behind this award, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Keck Medicine of USC is the University of Southern California's medical enterprise. On the other end of the spectrum, they've been around for a lot shorter time. Like UCLA's probably been around for like 40 years. Keck's only been around for, they bought the hospital about 8 years ago and they rebranded it maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So they're this small player in the field. They were in the top 50 list, not number one in California, not number one in Southern California. But they had six of the 16 specialties that they had listed out that they won, right?
Yeah.
So what they did is UCLA Health, they went out there and they had this this tone that with their message, like, oh, we're number one again. Like,
okay.
You can tell it was very, like, upper echelon type, cocky, arrogant, and it didn't really resemble the people, it was like, we're so proud of our nurses, our doctors, our this and that and that. Yeah. And then they posted up on social media. On that piece of content, they got about 250 likes, maybe about 8 comments, and maybe about 55 shares.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I managed Keck's account, and on Keck's account, we put up the exact same post. Like, theirs was a picture. Like, if you read the headlines for both articles, it says U.S. News ranks this place among the nation's best. They both say the exact same thing. But this social intro goes, thank you so much for all your continued support. We're so excited to be ranked one of the top 50 hospitals in 6 out of 16 categories.
Okay.
And that post gets 594 likes.
Uh-huh.
So it gets twice as much. Yeah. It gets 87 shares and it gets 16 comments. So it gets twice as much, and that was posted 24 hours after UCLA. And just to give you a little more background, UCLA Health has about 169,000 likes on their page. That means they have a huge audience.
Yeah.
And I barely got Keck's page up to 8,000, and it was at 4,000 back in September.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a big difference, though, in the audience sizes, yeah.
Yeah, so it's crazy how they can come out with such an authoritative message, because they're taking that authoritative feel. Yeah. They're going, oh, we're number one, we're the best. But does that really resonate with the people? Or does saying, oh, we're so thankful that all you guys helped us get to where we are.
Yeah.
And it just gets everyone else to join in and be like, oh, we're so thankful for you, too.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. And when was this?
This was like 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh, just a few days ago. Okay, so that's very recent. Cool. I guess I'd like to know, so you've obviously tackled this process for a while now, and you've done lots of talks and things like that. So if you were giving advice or mentoring somebody that is a founder and they're looking to identify their brand and you were helping them, like what kind of initial steps would you take to start that process and help them begin laying the foundation down for, you know, here's where we start, here's our priorities?
Well, step one is you have to know exactly what other people think of you.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you could just try to portray an image, but is it really going to come across the way you want? Maybe, maybe not. So the first thing I would do is get a stack of Post-it notes and go find people who are either associates or close friends and go, here, write down one word of what you think about me onto this Post-it note. Don't have them put their names, collect them all, don't look at who they came from, and just go through them, because some will be like funny, charming, bad breath, maybe. And you'll get all these different items that show exactly who you are. Yeah. That gives you the foundation on where you should, like, if you get 5 people who say the same thing, that's probably where you should align your brand, because that's more in line to what other people are saying.
And do you just to jump in real quick, do you find that applicable? So if I was starting a business, obviously, and I was building a brand for the company, you're saying also that that should be a reflection of you in some regard, or is that, how do you apply it to the business? Is it one and the same, or is there a different step-by-step process, meaning you need to understand yourself first and then the business follows, or how does that work?
You need to understand yourself first, and then the business follows. If you've seen the statistics, 95% of businesses fail within the first 5 years. And with the startup craze, it's probably more than that.
Yes.
So if you're betting on the plan to go out there for the next 5 years to build your business, and you have a 95% failure rate, so that gives you a 5% chance to actually make it, don't you want to have the best odds in your favor?
Yeah.
So, in my opinion, what you have to do to really get the best odds is you need to lead with yourself first and the company second.
I think that makes sense. Yeah, I like that.
I used to work in sales back in about, I think I started in 2004, 2005 when I started working at Manhattan Beach Toyota. Like, I had this 3-step process, or 10 steps to the sales. Step one was meet and greet. Step two was sell yourself. Step three was sell your company. So I had to sell myself to the person before I'm selling them as to why my dealership's better than anyone else's dealership.
Yeah.
So the only way you can really do that online is by building your personal brand first and then having your company follow. So that's the reason you want to go out there and get what other people think of you first.
Right. Yeah, I like that. I think that gives you a lot of direction too, because if the business follows and is based on who you are, obviously that's going to be something that you have experience with or that you're passionate about. And I think that the people, if you become the face for your brand, it reflects through the company. Like people will say, oh, that company makes sense for you. It's exactly a reflection of who you are.
Exactly. And then the second step is a process that my business partner created. It's called the 313 process.
Okay.
What he does is he helps entrepreneurs break down their pitches into three sentences, then to one sentence, then to three words. those three sentences are problem, solution, and market. Okay. Now, you can pitch it any way. So, like, let's say I had a program that was catered to entrepreneurs. Let's say the problem that entrepreneurs faced was in building their brands to create a successful business.
Mm-hmm.
And the solution to that is to get more exposure. Right. So sentence one would be, is I help entrepreneurs with the problem that they're facing. The problem that they, sentence two would be, is the problem that they face is they have difficulty building successful businesses.
Right.
The solution to that is to help them get exposure for what they're looking for. Okay. So they could generate more business.
Yeah.
Then what you do is you take those three sentences and you combine them together. So it's, I help entrepreneurs solve their biggest problem of not building successful businesses by getting them more visibility.
Right.
Then you break it down into three words where you use some, like, where you take two things together and you, like, clash them together.
Yeah.
Like, people know what blacksmiths are. They know what cooks are. They know what all these different things are. So, like, let's say I wanted to help entrepreneurs do that. I'm like, I'd say I'm the blacksmith of entrepreneurship, or I'm the blacksmith of brand building.
Right.
So you get it down to like three of the five words and you really pitch it down. So people are like, oh, what's that? Then what you do is when you go out and pitch people on what you do, you don't go out and you spill your 30-minute pitch on them and they're like, oh my God, what just happened to me? I can't believe this. I need a shower after this. You go out there and someone asks what you do and you say your three words. Then if they're interested in what you do, they ask you another sentence. Then you go with your one sentence from your one sentence. Then you're able to expand more and more and actually gain someone's interest instead of going the other way around.
Yeah, I like that. That's pretty cool. So it almost sounds like that could become a really cool exercise for building a brand name too.
Exactly. You could like build your brand name around exactly what you do too if you haven't even got to the process of thinking, what exactly should I build out?
Well, right. For people starting from scratch, it's kind of like, where do I start? How do I find the right idea? I know when I was younger, I always had all these different ideas, but not even just ideas, but areas of interest. And it's like, what is the right direction for me? And I think people can get paralyzed there. So thinking through the stuff that you're talking about, especially the personal branding process of getting to know who you are, I think that will lead you in the right direction and give you a little more guidance to make the right choice.
And the next step would be to go out there and research people in your field and get the vibe for what they're doing and just acquire that data. Then finally, you could go around to starting to build out your online profiles and thinking of how to fit everything within your 150 characters, 160 characters, or whatever it is.
Cool. And so is this then a process? Your business Influence Tree, I guess, come to life?
It was an idea about last July where I'm like, you know what? Everyone keeps asking me to mentor them. I don't have all this time. I can't do this.
Right.
I'm like, and my inbox just like fills up with all these requests. I'm like, there has to be a way where I can scale this and like teach a lot of people everything I know without actually sitting with people one-on-one, because I don't care if I get money or anything. I care about if the other person gets results, but there needs to be like a barrier of commitment so people actually take it seriously, so we charge money for this stuff. But that idea started becoming more of a business like around December, January. Then we started marketing it, and then actually we didn't really market it. We did what's that thing called where you test the waters to see if people want your thing?
Oh, like doing like a minimum viable product.
Before that, just to test if people are interested in your ideal.
Yeah, I forget the terminology, but I know what you're talking about.
Well, yeah, all we did was put up a website and just put it out to see if people were interested. And within a month, we had 100 leads, and we're like, what?
Oh, nice.
People really want this because they went and they read an article, then they went and they read the landing page, then they signed up after they saw pricing, and we're like, I think we need to make the product now.
Yeah. Okay, nice. So you guys are really testing it out without having a product, just looking for demand.
I mean, we have product now.
Oh, now,
that was back in January.
Yeah.
And because back in December or January, I think we hit 100 leads in a month, and we were like, this is pretty serious stuff. We only put up 3 articles.
Yeah, right? So,
yes.
So how did you said your inbox is filling up, it kind of led you to make the, you know, to build this Influencetree opportunity. So why, when you say your inbox is filling up, that means obviously people know who you are. How did you start getting your own... You know, you started writing, but how did you really start getting real exposure, getting out on other press, you know, outlets and things like that? Because, you know, you have to do a lot of these interviews, get your name out in mentions or have articles written about you. How did you start initiating those things so that you can get that exposure? Because it's so valuable, and I think that's part of the branding process for somebody. So I'm just curious how you did that.
I think a lot of people think that they have to go out there and do 100% outreach to do everything.
Yeah.
I think I've only done outreach maybe twice. Everything's all inbound.
Really?
I started writing on Quora in May of 2013. By December of 2013, I had 2 million views on my content. It was pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, wow.
By May the next year, I had 5 million. By the time I hit 5 million, it got pretty serious. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should probably write a book or something. So I wrote a book about some social media topic. I don't even think the book's that good, but I wrote a book. I wrote a book, and then people were like, oh, he's an expert in social media. So then I had the views, I had the book, and I never Googled my name, but around like October when I released the book, I Googled my name. And I'm like, whoa, I'm in the BBC. I'm in the LA Times. I'm in
so
all these places.
Picked up without even knowing, really. People just, I guess, got wind of like the, you know, the stuff you had out online, and they just did articles on their own. Is that that's what I'm hearing?
Yeah, they would take a quote from me here or there. They would just add me into these different things. Then Quora, they have a media syndication team where they've had partnerships with like all these big publications.
Yeah.
And then I didn't really know what I was doing when I was writing. I was writing my stories about my life and about the lessons I learned from both business and personal. And after a while, I just saw a lot of my friends starting to get their content picked up. So I started like studying, like, what kind of content does this publication look for? Does this publication look for? And they all had like different like word limits and stuff. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I should make my content shorter. Maybe it shouldn't be 2,500 words. Maybe it should be like 800 words. Let's give this a try. Let's format it a little bit differently. Let's make it a list. Next thing you know, it's in Inc. Next thing you know, it's in Huffington Post. Next thing you know, it's like in all these different places. I'm like, oh, so it does work.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah. So I just wanted to ask real quick, and obviously as those things started happening, did you see a real impact on, I guess, your opportunities? So like, were you directly seeing results of those things happening?
I was. One of the things is when you get a lot of views online, people will go, oh, maybe he got lucky. So that was just one platform that did well. Like, I'm a firm believer that you need at least 2 platforms to do well, to like really go out there and say you're an actual business person. So for me, I started investing into Twitter, and a lot of the people who started seeing my profile on Twitter, they'd see my Quora and my stats from there, or they've seen some of the publications I'm in, and it just added credibility to it. So I built a pretty... just to let you know, in the last, I'd say 6 months, I haven't really worked that much aside from building out the course. Like, I've just been, you know, kind of like just enjoying this lifestyle because, I don't know, I've been kind of making more money than I have probably in my entire life. And I'm like, yay, let's go party, let's go have fun. And not really going full out on work mode. And the weird thing is, in the last 6 months, like, I've probably been pushing clients away, going, oh, I don't want to do this, like being more picky about what I do.
Yeah.
And the reason for that is because I spent those 3 years building up my personal brand. So I could take a break probably for the rest of my life and it would still grow out and I would still get business.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have passive income resources right now.
Yeah. Like every now and then I get someone who emails me and they're like, oh, I know you have a course. Do you do one-on-one calls? And I'm like, no, if you give me the right amount, maybe. And then they're like, what's that right amount? And I don't respond. I'm like, I don't want to respond. I don't want to talk on the phone.
Oh, man. And would you consider yourself an introvert or an extrovert?
I did it, whatever, the Myers-Briggs thing. One time I take it, I get ENTJ. The next time I get INTJ. So it's like right in between.
Okay, okay.
I think why I don't like talking on the phone is because I did sales, then I did like phone stuff, phone sales or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's I'm like, I like this computer.
Yeah, it can make life easier for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So I guess I always like to ask this one question, which is, if you started over knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently?
I would have probably built my personal brand back when I was like maybe 21, getting out of car sales,
yeah,
as opposed to going out there and trying to just make startups work.
Right.
Because I had that picture. I'm like, I want $1 million, I want a Lamborghini, I want this, I want that, I want that. And I was like very result-oriented. But the problem is when you're focused on all those things, it takes your eyes off the prize, and when you don't get anything, you just feel disappointment. You're like, I'm not hitting my goals. What I've learned in the process is it's not about where you want to be, because if you ask me when I hit 2 million views, would I have ever thought in my life that I would have 2 million views on anything? I'd say, no, you're freaking crazy. But what I've realized in building all this up and what I've seen is duplicatable is when you take your eyes off the result and look at the habits instead.
Yeah.
Like, this person is successful because they do this, 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 and this every single day. This right. person is right. successful because they do those things every day. If you focus on doing just those things every day and take your eyes completely off the prize, you'll probably get the prize and more.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I like what you mentioned before where you said, you know, you were doing things at Quora, picked a channel like Twitter, built it up, then it helped with credibility and things like that. So do you look at those as tools that are part of the process for branding yourself? So you would think about it that way to say, well, I need credibility, so I need to work on doing this with Quora. I need to do this on a social network. You know, are those like strategic steps that people should think about?
When I was building my brand, it was all up in the air. I was just trying everything. When I build other people's brands, it's all calculated and all like structured out. Yeah. So from my personal experience, I'm like, oh, this guy has an ink column. He writes like me. I could probably get one too. Let's go apply and fill out this form.
Right, right.
Then it's like, oh, I have this ink column. I'll go email Arianna Huffington and see if she'll give me a column too. Like, these are just like random dots in my head. But
yeah.
When you look at it from a brand new person who's going out there and building their brand, what you need to do is you have to go out there and you have to stack your success. Like, let's say you have one small win. You want to get that win and you want to use it to get you a bigger win. Then you want to get that bigger win and use it to get a bigger win. Like, I've done like a few articles where I've just like analyzed people's brands. Like, everyone doesn't like Donald Trump except for people in Florida. But I've analyzed his brand to go over the exact processes on exactly what made him successful in an article that's probably on, where's that article, Inc. I have an article on Forbes about why Kim Kardashian's brand did so well. Because it's not, once you're able to get into that higher echelon of brands, you're able to see the exact points and decisions that people make that just propels their brand up.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes, it's art mixed with science.
Yeah.
So I could lay out an exact path on how to do it, and I kind of do that at my course in Influence Tree.
Sure.
But I mean, it's a lot of work. Like, if you want to build your brand, you can't really think about it as, oh, I'm going to do this and I'm going to go get rich in the next year.
Right.
If you're building your brand, you're probably not going to make money for year one. Year two, you might get a few bucks here and there. Year three, it's going to pick up. Year four, it's going to do really well. Year five, you're going to be like, wow, I can't believe I made this thing and I don't have to really do anything anymore.
Yeah.
But cool. But if you look at the business plan, year one, you're broke and in debt. Year two, you're struggling to get by. Year three, you probably went bankrupt, but if you didn't, you're still struggling to get by. Year four, you probably got hit by a bus and you're like $100,000, $200,000 in debt. And year five, you either are one of those three people who have like $1 million enterprises, one of those two people barely getting by going, oh my God, I can't believe we made it to year five. Or one of the 95 people with like absolutely nothing.
Interesting.
And the like a lot of people out there nowadays, they have that get rich quick mentality.
Of course, yeah. It's you know, we try to stay away from that on our side and think more about, you know, like, what do you do? Like, the more value you give people, if you're doing something that actually helps people, that the byproduct will be, you know, getting financial return.
Yeah, like, I write these super long, detailed articles. I wrote a this post isn't published yet, but it's a 6,800-word, 50-point checklist on everything you need to do for social media, and most people do three of these things. So I wrote that out, and it's going to be published soon, but like a lot of people go, oh, I'm going to hire that kid to do my social media, and guess what? They're going to do three to five of those things on that list because it's very comprehensive. And
yeah.
I think when people realize, like, when you're giving them all the value, they also realize just how hard it is to do something. Mm-hmm. So they reach out for help.
Yes. Yes. Agreed. Yeah, that makes sense. So we're coming up to the end of our time, but I do have one more thing I always like to ask. And let me know if anything pops in onto the top of your mind or not. But if you have any, you know, recent resources, cool, like tools and plugins or books or anything that you might want to recommend for people that have really, you know, made your life better or easier?
I'll recommend a book, sure. The Four Agreements.
Okay, cool.
It's a really simple book. It's a story about some like Mojave or Navajo Indian person who goes on a journey and they have these four simple agreements. But then if you actually put it, practice it in life, it just makes a world of a difference. It's crazy to say, and it's super simple, but it's like, whoa, this actually works.
Interesting. So what's an example, like when you say the four agreements, like what's an agreement, I guess, example there?
Always do your best. Like, you know, like there's a lot of times when people don't really try their hardest at something and they just push out whatever they push out. But if you always do your best, you get results. It's like super simple.
Such a simple, logical thing, but yet we don't do it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, hey, Leonard, I really enjoyed chatting with you and appreciate you taking the time to join Change Creator. If you want to give a shout out, how can people you know, reach you through your websites, your programs, and just let them know?
If you want to work with me, my website for that's Influence Tree. It's like tree and the word influence.com. My personal website's leonardkim.com, LEONARDKIM.com. And if you put hello at in front of that, you can email me or you can tweet me at Mr. Leonard Kim.
Awesome. Well, hey, thanks again. You know where to reach us if you ever need anything, Leonard.
Thanks so much for having me, Adam. I do appreciate it.
You got it. Take care.
You too.
That's all for this episode. Your next step is to join the Change Creator Revolution by downloading our interactive digital magazine app for premium content, exclusive interviews, and more ways to stay on top of your game. Available now on iTunes and Google Play, or visit changecreatormag.com. We'll see you next time where money and meaning intersect right here at the Change Creator Podcast.